published in February, found that large majorities had seen increases in mental health problems among school pupils since the start of the academic year, including low self-esteem, 86%, depression, 76%, and sustained feelings of anger, 68%. Catherine Roche, the chief executive of charity Place to Be, urged the National Health Service to provide many more early intervention services to support troubled young people as soon as they exhibit signs of distress before their mental health deteriorates. Claire Murdoch, NHS England's National Mental Health Director, said, "The toll of the pandemic has inevitably had an impact on the nation's mental health, with more young people than ever before accessing National Health Service services. As these figures show, demand continues to skyrocket, with a third more children treated in February this year compared to February 2020. Claire Murdoch claimed that the National Health Service had responded by expanding mental health teams in 4,700 schools and colleges and setting up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, mental health crisis telephone support services for all ages, which now receive 20,000 calls a month. The National Health Service data also shows that mental health bed shortages mean some under-16s who are sick enough to be admitted for mental health care are having to be treated on adult mental health wards, despite guidance saying that this should never happen. In February, an unspecified number of under-16s had spent 50 days on adult wards.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a brand new episode of Muslim Lady here on IRIB English Radio. Thank you so very much for joining us on this wonderful day or night, whatever time of the day it is at your corner of the world. Here in the studio, I have the honor and pleasure of being joined by my wonderful sister and special guest Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear Sister Zainab, honored to be here. And inshallah, hoping to have a fruitful discussion today.
I as we explained in previous episodes, we can't imagine such people cohabitating, quote unquote, with the opposite gender without an Islamic contract that would make it lawful for them. What are we going to explore about this topic today?
So one dimension that we didn't really talk about and shed much light on was parenting. Mm-hmm. And what happens in this scenario? I was watching a YouTube video today, and this lady, this researcher, was sharing the result of the paper that she and a co-author had done on what happens to a relationship in the two cases of cohabitation and marriage when a child enters that
picture,
right?
Yep.
And she was saying that 1/4 of cases in cohabiting couples actually break up after the child enters. Imagine how much complexity comes in the picture.
Yeah.
The second generation of homosexuals, God knows in the second generation of, you know, what happens to the mindset of this child, what happens to the psychological
Don't worry about that at all. Yeah, maybe this child will be a little messed up, that specific child of that.
It will be messed up for good.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, at
some point, humanity is going to restart itself. Don't worry about that. And that's totally fine.
This is the point of this discussion, that there is no end to the changes and to the needs and to the new ways of life that we're making for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? And these are just instances that if you let loose your own desires and your own wisdom, your own intellect, this is where it's going to lead you.
Mm.
Whereas if you come back to this path of religion where it lays everything straightforward for you, you have one family, you have certain commitments, certain legal and certain ethical commitments towards each other. Everything is clear cut. Life is made so much more simple for you this way. This is what I'm saying. This lady that I'm following on Instagram, she's in Sweden, and she was saying that a couple of days ago, my colleague was absent for, I think, maybe like a month or so. And then he came back and he said, I'm a dad now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, how come you're a dad? I haven't, you know, like you haven't said anything. And he's like, they were homosexuals. Mm-hmm. He was gay.
Yeah.
He said, we have gone to another country. We had
adopted
a surrogate mother.
Uh-huh.
Taken our child. Mm-hmm. And she has given birth to our child, to our son. Mm-hmm. And now Bill and Jack, we have our son with us. This homosexuality becoming legal and them having the right to have a family, to raise children, this is a new phenomenon. It's in the past decade. They've been homosexuals, but they've been illegal. They haven't had the chance to get married officially. Even some branches of Christianity have recognized them as couples, as married couples.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that the next 20, 30, 40 years will be faced with a generation, the world, that there are no set of values. Anything that you think is good, let's not judge people. Yeah. And I have a lot of problem with this issue that let's not judge people. Yeah. Let's not judge people. And there is this verse in the Quran that do not have bad suspicion on about people, because a lot of your suspicions will turn out, they will be sins, because what you're thinking about other people might not be true. And it's just what's going on in your mind. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's not judge people when you don't have complete evidence. But sometimes what's going on in the world is really, if you can't judge, then you will be just so confused.
Mm.
We should have our set of values. We should know where we're heading.
Absolutely.
So
there's a difference between, I feel, judging and deciding whether what someone is doing is against my set of values or not. You know, because at the end of the day, well, it's your life. They're obviously not going to put you and I in the same grave. But
then again, you're
but
not
then again,
put...
it's like the most I can do in regard to another person's actions is not commit it myself, right? If it's a random homosexual person in Western Europe, أمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر, enjoining the good and forbidding the bad means
nothing,
right? Means jack to them, that obligatory law.
You know what, Zainab? The best form of Amr bil Ma'ruf these days is to be a practical role model yourself.
Yeah.
To be a practical example, not even a role model, because they don't even want you to be their role model.
Exactly.
To just
be a good person.
Exhibit, show, display one form, one norm of life where they can see that within the confinements of this sort of family or this sort of union, things happen more fluidly. And you know what? It's not just today or tomorrow, next year, 10 years of me and you. It's the next generations to come. And we are not, I think we are being very simplistic to just see the current situation of, you know, events. We should be a little more farsighted and think about what would happen to the children of my children, to the children of my children. What would happen to their mindset?
Oh, they'll be fine.
I don't think so.
I have so much faith.
Unless humanity is restarted.
It will be. That's why I have so much faith. They'll be fine.
In that
because
case, I agree with you.
Everything's going to be fine.
We're in the same boat.
Because humanity does that every once in a while. It deviates a whole lot, and then stuff hits the fan. Everything is officially gone south, and there's no redeeming it itself anymore. And things are just going to get worse and worse and darker and darker, and that's when...
Yeah, this beautiful verse in the Quran that says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينَ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ This is exactly what we're talking about. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Which means, so set your heart as a person of pure faith on this religion. The original nature endowed by Allah according to which He originated mankind. There is no altering Allah's creation. Yep. That is the upright religion. But most people do not know.
Do not know, exactly. I'm not necessarily saying that there's going to be a great flood. I mean, who am I to say anything? But humanity will restart itself. There will be some sort of revolutionary movement again. And everything's going to be fine. That I'm not worried about at all. I'm just, I'm mostly just worried about the now, you know, and the confusion that such arrangements create among people, number one. Number two, the effort we need to exert and the time and energy we need to spend in order to debunk this approach to life.
It's not like, okay, at one point in life, everything's we're going to figure out, oh, we made a mistake, let's all go back. It's not going to be like that. There's going to be a big natural disaster coming where people and families and the whole universe will just be shattered into pieces. And then Allah says, He just shakes the tissue where, you know, the planet that we're living on. And then the new system, a new planet, you know.
New population.
Everything will be starting from afresh.
This is what I think will happen.
Of course, what I just explained is the description of Qiyamah. But then we're talking about a second chance to live, which will come after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala. And then where it's you, the scenario that you explained, where people are so, even the Muslims are so deviated that when he comes, they're going to say, oh my God, he's bringing something else. The Islam that he is talking about, it's not what we have known.
Yeah.
And he's bringing a new religion. So that's when there's going to be a lot of wars going on in the world. And a lot of people actually, without resisting, they would just accept the Islam that he introduces from far in the East and the West, right? Mm-hmm. Without even, you know, without any bloodshed, because it's fitra, it's within their nature, what he's bringing to people.
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Another possibility could be that people are just going to get fed up with it. You know, because we can pretend to be something against what we truly are for so long, you know? And because the nafs is such a tricky little element in our existence, and the devil, these two things we really shouldn't underestimate, like seriously. These they're so tricky and they're so deceiving, but they can only trick us for a while. You know, that at the end of the day, that part of God that's been entrusted within us, the part where he says in the Quran, نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, I blew a part of my soul into this clay figure in order to give it life, that part is going to grow so restless after a while. And it's going to try to struggle so hard to break free, mm-hmm. that people and societies and communities and maybe these few next generations that we're so worried about, they're going to be so fed up with all this nonsense. They're going to be like, enough is enough.
They're going to be the pioneers of going
exactly.
to the Deen of Hanif.
Exactly. And they could be the ones who create the groundwork for the reappearance of Sahib al-Zaman. That's why I have so much faith in them, you know, mm-hmm. because a lot of narrations point to the fact that drawing close to the reappearance of Al-Hujjah alayhi salam, the human logic and intellect is going to be so developed that it's going to be like, well, we're going to follow Imam Zaman. What else are we going to do? It only makes sense because they've seen what a horrible, horrible place the world could have been when it was just left to the whim of mere mortals. And they're going to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to give this whole God thing a try. And society will just gradually develop. I mean, God knows what he's doing, obviously. And we're all out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. Until another salam and greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and since today is the 23rd of the month of Zilqa'da, and according to a narration, the day of martyrdom of the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rizā, peace be upon him, we offer you our sincere condolences and present you a statement worth contemplating from Imam Rizā, peace be upon him, when his murderer-to-be, the Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun, deceitfully offered him the caliphate. If the caliphate is really yours, you have no right to give to others what God has given you. And if it does not belong to you, how can you give it to others what is not yours in the first place?
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
June 21st marks the International Day of Yoga. And this day, people, especially Hindus around the world, gather in open spaces to perform this ancient physical exercise, raising awareness of its benefits on the human body and mind. Yoga is believed to have originated in India thousands of years ago and is mentioned in ancient Hindu mythological books. The word yoga derives from Sanskrit and means to join or unite, symbolizing the union of body and consciousness. In India, the day is celebrated with a different theme each year, with this year's theme being Yoga for Humanity. Mass yoga events took place around India, especially in and around iconic sites such as the Taj Mahal. Other countries, such as Vietnam and Thailand, also celebrated Yoga Day, with hundreds performing it in open spaces. Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bear's living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400 square meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future.
Chilean paleontologists unearthed a rare, fully intact fossil of what is known as a sea dragon, discovered from a melting glacier deep in Patagonia.
It is the first complete and excavated ichthyosaur that has been found in Chile. It also corresponds to one of the most complete fossils ever found on the planet for the Cretaceous period. It is the only pregnant ichthyosaur that's been found on the planet from the era between 129 and 139 million years ago. So it's incredibly important.
The 4-metre long fossil is nicknamed Fiona and swam the seas some 250 million years ago. Scientists say this specimen will help them understand this species and its embryonic development. The expedition lasted over a month because of the remote nature of the find in the Patagonian glaciers. Paleontologists had to make a 10-hour hike just to get to the site. They also had to camp in extreme weather conditions while maneuvering tricky, rocky surfaces. But collecting and transporting the fossil was a whole other story.
As we went down excavating, weakening the rock, we realized the skeleton was mostly complete, so much that the bones were pushed inwards and we had to make five blocks of approximately 200 kilos each to move it.
The blocks were then airlifted to the Rio Seco Natural History Museum in southern Chile to be prepared for exhibition. The fossil was first discovered by Ruth Pedro more than a decade ago, but because of the site's harsh terrain, its extraction was a complex challenge. Scientists also discovered over 20 other specimens of the same species during the expedition, bringing the total found in the glacier area to 100.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
About a dozen penguins have been returned home after being given a second chance at life following their rehab in Argentina. The birds were rescued in the province of Buenos Aires and were transported to the Mundo Marino Foundation for evaluation. The Magellanic penguins were treated for malnutrition, dehydration and parasites. The foundation's director says these pathologies are usually caused by climate change, food scarcity and environmental pollution. Vets say they are seeing more and more of these sorts of rescues. The bears were nursed back to health in one of the foundation's facilities in the town of San Clemente del Tuyo. They were later released back to their habitat in southern Chile. People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's cultural heritage list last year.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriad. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today's special: how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Hello.
Today, Thursday, is the 23rd of Zilqa'da, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start today's program with the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah Zumar, Ayah 64 and 65.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul afa ghayrallahi ta'murunni a'budu ayyuhal jahilun.
Say, O Muhammad, is it other than Allah that you order me to worship, O ignorant ones?
وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
And it was already revealed to you and to those before you that if you should associate anything with Allah, your work would surely become worthless, and you would surely be among the losers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The ayahs in question are mainly addressed to the noble prophet, but all people are also involved in such a verse. Yet, Allah the Almighty addresses the prophet owing to the significance of the issue, indicating that even if the prophet disbelieves for a single moment, his deeds will be in vain and he will be among the losers. According to a tradition narrated from Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam, inquired by Ma'mun concerning the verses in question, he stated, such ayahs refer to the Muslim community, even if the Messenger of God is addressed herein.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran.
How should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The manner of performing worship must be learned from the Quran and the progeny of Prophet after him, just as the address of every house must be found from its owner. Just as the Sikh do not enjoy eating food, the unenthusiastic worshippers will not also acquire pleasure in worship. Worship must be performed with love, enthusiasm, fervor, and pleasure, and not indisposition, languidness, and despondency. Cheerfulness in worship is a privilege possessed by the people whose hearts are enamored by Him. Its ground must also be obtained through nasas and attention. Worship under compulsion and imposition leads nowhere. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam stated, do not enforce worship on yourself.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that, this inner feelings and inner disposition and inner sense of calculation leads everybody to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this ultimate being or this supreme being may be named, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God or anything else, we find that this is, of course, a source of all power, and the whole universe has been created due to his graceful attention. At the same time, we find that, okay, granted that we need worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stresses on we need worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who should guide us to this path? Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dispatched many divine prophets. According to Islamic instructions, for any human community, there has been a prophet, a divine prophet. Now we find that these divine prophets have come to direct people, to rescue people from darkness and ignorance, and to lead them to light and knowledge. So we find that the way or how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be found in their instructions. At the same time, we find that the best type of worship is that, okay, people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very much cognizant of what they say and why they perform those jobs and gestures, okay? Because the basic and inherent and the hardcore of all kinds of worship, or worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its various modes and forms, the hardcore of this is, being cognizant of our aim and the aim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of our creation and our mission in this regard. First of all, we have to know whom we are worshipping and why we need worshipping Him. Another one is another item that should be emphasized here is that we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attentively, not like a perfunctory job, okay, to be done in order to say that, okay, I've just done it, I've just prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this regard, we find that those people who have excelled in the realm of religious mysticism or religious knowledge and have acquired or reached very high stations or very high echelons of knowledge, religious knowledge, they never worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as perfunctory jobs. Rather, they've been quite attentive. They worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very attentively.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's suggestion, recite the Holy Quran. There are so many benefits reciting the Quran. The Prophet stated, whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah, he will receive one good deed as 10 good deeds like it. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but rather Aleph is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. So each one of them separately has a significance. This is the time to take the best opportunity to fill in as much time with the Quran. A great way to keep yourself alert and active simply by reciting one page after every prayer or listening to the beautiful recitations while doing your work.
ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره
العصا ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
Promotion of worship. The believer who is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should engage in promoting the culture of worship. He should not only restrict himself to his own prayer and worship, but also acquaint others with Allah and worship, exhorting one another to truth and the duty of conveying the message or tabligh are incumbent upon every believer. Allah calls on man after faith and righteous deeds and to exhort one another to patience and the truth. And Allah states, and enjoin one another to follow the truth, and enjoin one another to patience. If 10 smokers inhabit in a community, many people will become familiar with smoking within a short period. The presence of only a few corrupt elements is enough to corrupt an entire city. Why cannot a number of faithful worshippers then acquaint the people with God and make the environment congenial for the worship of Allah? With utmost effort, at home, school, office, city, the village, we must plan for the advancement of our own divine objectives and put into action whatever we can along this path.
You claim to worship Allah, but you spend 10 times more on Allah than you spend on yourself. You spend on yourself 20 times more than you spend on Allah. He'll go buy a $500 jacket, but then he'll give just $100 to the masjid. He'll buy a $50,000 car, and then he gives $1,000 for the Husayniyah, and he feels so proud. And then he says, I worship Allah. No, you don't worship Allah. You worship your nafs. You worship your clothes, your stomach, and your desires. Because the way I see it is that you spend on yourself 20 times more than you spend on Allah. Sometimes 100 times more, sometimes 1,000 times more. And we feel so proud if we give 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. And then he spends hundreds of thousands on himself. Or don't look at the number, but look at the percentage. He'll spend 90% on his stomach and clothes, 5 to 10% on what? On Allah Azza wa Jal. Who do we really worship? Allah or the desires? That's why Allah says in the Holy Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. He says, many people, they don't worship Allah. They say we worship Allah. They say La ilaha illallah. They do sujood maybe even. But however, the true God that they worship is their desires, their nafs. So the Imam says, in order for you not to be distracted by the dunya and salah, do not place your forehead on something that is man-made. The carpet is man-made. Place your forehead on something that is natural. That is none other than the earth. Now that we understand the philosophy, the theological and spiritual benefits of sujood, we understand that these benefits can only be acquired by doing sujood on earth, not on the carpet.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of this program and other programs of IRIB English Radio, please visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you.
show you what's behind your door. And they show me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.